All right, Larry, welcome to the show. We are on Life Unscripted today. It's an honor to have you on here, man.
I appreciate it. I like the idea of unscripted. I've never been very good with scripts anyway.
Awesome. Yeah, I never like to really plan on, you know, what we're going to talk about and discuss. So glad you're a fan of that. Now, you're known as the Pitbull of personal development.
That's right.
So I want to know, you know, I read before that you weren't into personal development. You had another business before and one that you went bankrupt in.
That's right. Many, many years ago, I was in the telecommunications business. I had been with AT&T and Southwestern Bell and so forth for a long time. And when the divestiture of the Bell system happened, I went off and started my own telecommunications company. Did real well, then went to work one day, and the state of Oklahoma decided that what I did in my business was no longer going to be legal, and they ruled against me and didn't grandfather my company in. So I went to work one day rich and went home that day, lost everything. And I turned to professional speaking. It's something I'd always wanted to do. I didn't have any experience in it. I'd written a lot of sales training material. So I became a sales trainer when I first started as a professional speaker.
So how did you make that transition from going, experiencing something like going bankrupt to getting into professional speaking?
I tell you what, going bankrupt and losing everything you own financially is a great motivator. I don't suggest it to anyone, but I tell you what, it'll get you off your ass every single morning and put you to work at something when you know you got to do whatever it takes in order to pay your bills. And that was the position I was in. So when I made the decision, this is what I wanted to do, become a professional speaker, I had to be successful. People were saying to me, because I was new to the industry, you know, it takes 5 or 6 years. And I said, guys, I don't have 5 or 6 weeks. I mean, I got to do this right now. Yeah. So what I did was figure out that I was going to sell sales training. And if you're going to sell sales training, you ought to be able to sell it. If you're going to teach people how to sell, you ought to be able to do it. So I got up every morning, just got on the phone, started calling businesses and sold sales training, and was very successful very early simply because my motivator was starvation.
So you were literally cold calling people on your new sales training that you just had put together.
Listen, I picked up the Tulsa, Oklahoma Yellow Pages. I started at the AAAAAs. And worked through the ZZZZZs, and I said, do you have anybody in your company that sells anything to anyone? And if they had one person, I would try to sell them sales training. And I was working for $50 for a 45-minute session, and I had 6 different sessions that I wrote out I could do. And I would do 6 of those a day. I was making $300 a day starting on day one, and that was the starting place for me. My fee quickly went from $50 for 45 minutes to something way higher.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but it really sounds like that going bankrupt was one of the great things to actually assist you to do what you really would love to do.
Yeah, again, I don't recommend that to anyone.
Right.
And I became a financial guy on television. I had my own television show about people who had wrecked their lives financially. I've written a New York Times bestselling personal finance book called You Broke Because You Want to Be. But so I don't believe that bankruptcy is your first option. But when my position was a little different. Mine wasn't it because I spent too much money and was stupid. Mine was because a ruling didn't go in my favor. So I didn't have another option on that deal. But bankruptcy is a thing that destroys you. And that destruction of who I was to become what I wanted to be, in my case, that was a huge motivator.
Yeah. I've heard that you've read a ton of books. Now to become
5,000 books plus in the last 35 years.
All right. So to become the Pitbull of personal development, where did that name come from? Is that something the client gave you? Is that something you developed on your own?
I for about the first almost 15 years of my business, probably, I was your typical funny, motivational humorist who did a lot of openings and luncheons and after dinner speeches and that sort of stuff. And I went into my office one day and said, I absolutely hate this crap. I don't like my audiences. I don't like what I got to say. I don't like anything about the business. and I got to get away. And so I had this sort of, I don't know, this go into the desert to figure out who you are sort of moment. And in doing so, I watched a quick clip of Dennis Miller years ago talking about his career, how he said most comedians go on stage to endear themselves to the audience, so the audience will like them. If the audience likes them, they're happy. And he said, my problem was I was never very endearing, so I gave it up. And when I gave it up, that's when I became who I am today. And in that moment, I said, oh, I'm not very endearing either. I think I'll just give it up. And my career changed on a dime that quick. And I let my wife and my business manager know. I didn't know what was going to happen, but something was going to change. And the next time I went on stage, a guy in the audience heckled me. And I stopped and turned to him and I said, you know, buddy, you ought to shut up, stop whining, and get a life. And the audience gave me a standing ovation on the spot. And I thought to myself, that's a pretty good line. Shut up, stop whining, get a life. I think I'm going to keep that. And so I used that story and built this presentation and let my true philosophy come out, which was basically exactly the opposite of all the motivational bozos out there. And I attacked all the motivational cliches because that's what I really thought. And somebody kind of called me a pit bull one time, and I said, you know, I am. I'm the pit bull of personal development. We got a bunch of toothless poodles out there who want to make everybody feel better about themselves, and somebody's got to grab hold and make people accountable for who they are. I'm going to be that guy. And turns out it just worked out really well for me. I had a look, I had a style, and it was good timing in the world of personal development, self-help.
Yeah, I'm definitely a big proponent of that myself. Is like within the personal development world now, I mean, you see so much like airy-fairy, like bullshit out there.
There's a whole lot of it. There's a lot of puppy dogs, kitty cats, and rainbows out there in this world right now. And somebody needs to tell people, listen, your life's your own damn fault. Get off your ass and fix it. And that's what I've been doing now for a lot of years. My whole career, pretty much since that moment, has been based on the philosophy that your life really is your own damn fault. Mm-hmm. And getting people to take responsibility. Now, I have a lot of people who argue with that philosophy and say, no, Larry, you don't understand. This happened to me and this happened to me. And okay, I'm not going to argue with you because I'm tired of arguing with idiots. I'm not going to argue with you, but I'll tell you this, regardless of what happened to you, what you do about it is still going to be your own fault. So take responsibility, get off your ass and go to work. Whining about it's not going to fix anything. Wallowing in the pain and self-pity and all that does not move you forward. Dust yourself off, take responsibility, suck it up, and go to work.
What's one of the greatest components that you see that works over and over again out in the world of, you know, you're speaking with so many people and you have a lot of books of getting people to make that transformation in their life, to go and start to live a life that's actually rewarding to them?
You know, what I have everybody do is and the most popular question I get on podcasts and radio shows and television, and I do a lot of them, is what is it really bottom line? Kind of like what you just asked, turn your life around, your business around, and be successful. I always tell people, get three sheets of paper. On the first sheet of paper, write down exactly where you are in every area of your life and business. How are you financially and in relationships and all those things. So make this list of how you are. The second sheet of paper, write down in the same categories, just corresponding, exactly how you would like that to be. So you end up with two sheets. This is how it is in my life, and this is how I'd like for it to be in my life. Yeah. And then on the third sheet of paper, I want you to write down what you're going to give up to get from where you are to where you want to be. Now, that is the most telling thing, because we live in this society of these motivational, airy-fairy, woo-woo bozos who say you can have it all. Listen, you can't have it all. You're going to have to make a choice. And so they're not doing people any good by saying, you can have it all. You can be whatever you want to be. No, you can't. Can't do any of that stuff. You're going to have to make some tough choices, and it's going to come down to sacrifice. I believe I was the very first guy in the personal development industry that said success truly comes from sacrifice. And what are you going to give up? But we don't live in a time where people are willing to give up much. See, I believe that happiness and success does not come from getting. It does come from getting up. You don't get successful. You give up what's keeping you from being successful. You don't get skinny. You give up what's making you fat. You don't get happy. You give up what's making you unhappy. You don't get rich. You give up what's making you broke. I mean, it just goes right down the line, and everything you want in life is going to come down to what are you willing to give up to get it. Mm-hmm. And most people are not willing to give anything up. So if you figure that part out, this is where I am, this is where I want to be, and this is what I'm going to give up, you'll be all right.
What's one of the things that you had to give up in order to get where you are?
You know, I give up. It changes all the time. I had years ago, I basically had to give up an entire life to become the person I am right now. We covered that in the first part of the show. Yep. But I've had to give up a lot along the way, a lot of free time, a lot of things that I would have loved to have been doing, because I said, I'm going to do whatever it takes to make this business successful. So I got up early and I worked late and I called and I wrote books and I was on the phone with clients trying to get them to hire me. So I gave up a lot of personal stuff. You know, we have all these people saying, you have to have perfect balance in your life. No one is ever living a balanced life. You're always out of balance at some point. And, you know, when you realize, and I think the stats on this are that when a plane takes off, goes from point A to point B, it's off course 97% of the time. It spends its entire flight trying to get back on course. And that's kind of what life is about. So I've been off course a lot of times, understanding that I had to work really hard. I would give up this weekend, or I'd give up time doing this. So you do that. At some point, I think people let the pendulum swing too far and they end up giving too much. I mean, I gave up to the point that I was working myself sick sometimes, and I wasn't taking care of my family. So you pull back and the pendulum swings that way. So it's a constant trying to figure out how much to give up, when to give it up, sacrifice, going through the pain of giving it up and not giving it up.
Right.
You know, life's not as simple as people make it out to be. Life's not as easy. It's pretty simple, but it's not as easy as a lot of those happy people would love you for it to be when they start explaining it.
Yeah, definitely not looking for an easy life to achieve, you know, big outcomes and goals. That's for sure.
It's hard work to get what you want sometimes. And these people who say it's not, you know, it's just dumb. You know, I work every day. Now I work differently at it. My priorities have changed, and priorities drive your decisions always.
Absolutely. You
know, I can look at people's results and say people's money and their time and their energy goes to what's important to them. And mm-hmm. what's important to them always shows up in their results. And that changes over time. My age changed that. How much I want to work changes that. How much money I got in the bank changes that. So your priorities shift, but please don't ever say, I'm not getting what I want. Bullshit. Your life is exactly how you want it to be. If you're fat, stupid, and lazy, that must be how you want it, because you have a choice. You don't have to be fat. You don't have to be stupid. You don't have to be lazy. If you're broke, that's your fault. Your spending's out of control, or your earning is not what it needs to be. Do something about it.
Yeah, and I think today too, in this society, I feel that we like to fucking sugarcoat everything for people, and we're so afraid of being able to speak really what's deep inside and share that truth. And your nonsense approach seems to be liberating. You probably, I would imagine, you face a lot of challenge from that, of how you like to approach. You know, you're speaking.
You should see my email or my private messages, or follow my Facebook feed on my fan page. And I mean, I have death threats. I have all kinds of stuff. I can show up on the news and say, you know what people need to do is pay their bills. And when they go to work, they work for their boss and they show some respect, and they need to go home and parent your kids and discipline your kids and teach them what's right and wrong. And by the time I get home from the studio, I've got 3 death threats on my voicemail.
How do you cope with that?
Oh, you know, it pisses me off, but sometimes, not because they make the threats. It pisses me off that people let those kind of things, like, you know, I'm not telling them to go stand on their head in the corner and whistle Dixie backwards or anything. I'm just saying, do what's right. This is about core values. And I remind people that your core values show up in all you do. And when I look at what's going on in the world, I say, What happened to honesty and integrity, doing the right thing, kindness, those sorts of things? My last book, What's Wrong with Damn Near Everything, is about core values and how core values are collapsing. So I just kind of shake my head and realize those people, their core values are messed up. And we're not doing a lot in society right now that drives people back to asking themselves the question, is that honest? Is that truthful? Is that based in integrity? Is that really the way we ought to treat other people? It's a shame.
What's one of the biggest challenges you see going around speaking, working with companies, individuals, on a collective?
You know, the sad thing is right now is that I'm real careful, and I've been this way my whole career, to make sure that if I'm going to go after someone, I attack actions.
Mm-hmm.
I never attack people.
Yeah.
And we have gotten to this sad, sad place where people actually believe that if you attack their actions, you have attacked them. And, you know, that's a real, real shame, in my opinion. There's a great quote, in my opinion, it ought to be the quote of the year for the last few years. It's by Emerson that says, "Let me never fall into the vulgar mistake of dreaming that I'm persecuted whenever I'm contradicted." And I love how he says the vulgar mistake. I believe it really is. And I love that kind of shocking wording. That's kind of what I do too.
Yeah.
But the vulgar mistake that I'm being persecuted when somebody's just contradicted me. You know, I can say, you know, smoking three packs of cigarettes and eating 10,000 calories a day, that's probably a stupid idea, don't you think? Look at the results that's creating in your life.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying you're a bad human being, but I'm sure saying that three packs a day and 10,000 calories a day is stupid. But we have gotten to the point that if you contradict anybody, they believe that you are attacking them as individuals.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And we really have to be incredibly careful these days, which I think is a shame. That's why you've got guys like Seinfeld and all these comedians saying, "I'm not doing college campuses anymore. Everybody's too damn sensitive."
Way too sensitive.
And nobody's got a sense of humor, and everybody thinks it's about them. And, you know, one of the memes that I got a lot of negative reaction to is I said, "Believe it or not, it's not always about you. People don't think about you near as much as you believe they do."
Uh-huh.
People were pissed off by that. Oh, well.
It's crazy. And, you know, I love Emerson, first of all. He's one of my favorites. He's brilliant. But what I was loving what you're saying there with the vulgar component is like, you know, it's Giordano Bruno, who was, you know, he was burned at the stake for what he said, and then he was honored 500 years later. It's almost like for what you're saying now, you're getting, you know, crucified for at some time, but one day we'll be honored for the bluntness and the directness you have in society.
Well, maybe so. We'll see. In the meantime, my deal right now is I understand this needs to be said, and I'm the guy who needs to say it. And it wouldn't matter how it was received. I realized years ago when I made that shift in my career from being that happy, motivational guy to go out and telling people what I really thought, taking on some of the stupidity that was being said from the stage, that was my path. And I was going to have to go that direction and say what I really felt and really believed if I was going to be authentic. Every night, the last thing I do is when I'm brushing my teeth before I go to bed, I look myself in the eye while I'm doing it, and I say to myself inside, "Were you the best version of you you could be today?" Really, I go through that every night. And I've got to be able to say I was authentic. I was true to myself. I lived a day of integrity. Where, yeah, I was pissed off. Did I have the right to be pissed off? And was I kind in my being pissed off? You can still be kind and make people accountable.
Yeah.
And was I true to what I believe and my core values? I think we've got to all sort of do that. And we got to be honest with ourselves and say, "No, today, Larry, you were an asshole about that. Maybe you ought to make amends for that."
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, "Today, Larry, you did a good job. Go to bed and sleep well." I think we have to have that sort of accountability in our lives, take responsibility for our actions, and stay true to our core values.
How, you know, in a world like today with so much, you know, you just kind of led me into this question, so much social media, so much pressure to fit in, what's one of the ways that you assist people in to fucking remain authentic and stay true to what's in your heart and really who, you know, how all individuals are to society?
Well, in my book, Grow a Pair, I ask people to identify their core values in that one. And you know, if you walked up to the average person on the street and said, tell me five things that you believe that you will never waver from. I mean, things you can't be talked out of. If I held a gun to your head and say, stop believing this, you'd say, I can't. This is what I believe. Can you name five things? And when you ask people that, I mean, most of them look at you like a dog looking at a ceiling fan. They got no clue what they really believe in. And so first of all, you have to identify what your core values are. Like my number one core value is honesty. Nobody gets to lie to me. You just don't get to.
Mm-hmm.
You can do whatever you want to me and we'll work through it. But if you lie to me, I'll cut you off at the knees and we'll never talk again. We'll be done. When a business does business with me and they screw up, if they pick up the phone, I had this happen just a couple of weeks ago and said, listen, Mr. Wingett, we have messed up. This is all our fault. They take responsibility for it. They said, we didn't do this. We didn't do this. We didn't do this. I said, I appreciate that. Now, what are we going to do to fix it?
Yep.
And if they would have lied to me about why they didn't show and blah, blah, I'd have cut them off the knees and torn their business apart at every opportunity. You just don't get to it. Because that value is that important to me. Now, that has to show up. If that value is important to me and I hold others accountable to that, do I hold myself accountable to that?
Mm-hmm.
Do I make sure I tell the truth in all things? Whether people get their feelings hurt or not, that's going to be their issue, not mine. I will tell the truth in all things. I do my best to tell the truth to myself. That's a hard thing to do, believe it or not. Because you step on the scales and say, no, Larry, you still look pretty good. No, the truth is, Larry, you ate like a pig that last week and you've picked up a couple. You know, but that's being honest with yourself. So we all need to figure out what is important to us. Are we holding others accountable to that? Do we speak up for it? But do we also hold ourselves to that standard? You know, we judge others by their actions. We judge ourselves by our intentions.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have to do is judge ourselves by our actions and maybe be a little kinder to others based on their intentions. We kind of got to switch it around. We all pretty much intend to do the right thing, but our actions tell the truth.
Yeah, and if
but
we don't know ourselves,
everything is easy if your values are clear.
Yeah, because if you don't know yourself, you're going to be judging your actions based on someone else's own set of core values.
Yep, exactly. So just getting people to sit down, and I'm a big believer, and I think one of the things technology has done to hurt us is it's done away with the sheet of paper and the pen. I don't think you can type it and mean it as much as you can pull out a sheet of paper with a big black Sharpie and say, five things I believe.
Yeah.
And write those five things down and fold that sheet of paper up and put it in your pocket or your wallet or your purse or whatever and carry that around with you. And when you get in the car, lay it in the seat next to you so you look at it. So you can really start to understand, is that what I believe? Because if I believe it, it's showing up in my life. And if it's not showing up in my life, then I don't believe it. So I believe that's the first step people have to go through. What do I believe? Why do I believe it? How does it show up in my life? Do I hold other to those things? Do I hold myself to those things?
I love it because that's one of my favorite, to summarize that, one of my favorite Greek axioms is know thyself, be thyself, love thyself.
Uh-huh.
And I'm 100% with you right there. Most people just don't know that.
And yet what I just said, 99.999% of the people will never do because I said, pull out a sheet of paper and get out a pencil.
Yeah.
I said that to a group not long ago, and a guy caught me at the break and said, Larry, you're so old school, it's because you're an old man. What a kind of thing to say. that we don't do things on pen and paper anymore. And I said, that's exactly why you need to do it.
Yep. I carry journals and papers surrounding me right here.
Good, good. But see, that's a little bit of work. to ask people to do that. And they don't want to work because they've been told you don't have to work to be successful. I had someone attack me because I really do believe that we need more hard work in our society. And I had a guy really go after me and call me lots of names and said that hard work is just you old school guys trying to tell us how to live. You don't have to work hard to be successful. I never met anybody that didn't work hard.
Neither have I.
Successful. Every successful person I meet, I don't care whether they're doing it sitting on their ass in front of a computer or not, there's work involved.
Yeah, we're busting their ass.
Exactly.
All right, so let's talk about for the people who are busting their ass out there, how do you take yourself to the next level? When you go and work with people who, you know, they want to make the million, they want to leave a legacy, how do you get yourself from where you are to that next level for the people who are busting their ass out there and want to kick ass in life?
I think you have to go through what I said earlier about this is where I am and this is where I want to be and what am I going to give up? I don't care what level you're working at right now. You're still going to have to give something up working at that level to get to the next level. I remind people all the time that you cannot take a step to the next level unless you're willing to take your feet off the step at the level you're currently operating.
Go ahead.
No, I can't step up to the next level if I don't take my foot off of this level.
Can you
it's
give
the way it always works?
Yeah, I love that. And can you share a little story from your own experience just so we have something in context with that?
Well, you know, long, long, long time ago, I looked at how the speaking industry was done. And it was this very comfortable position of if you're a speaker, you write a book. You have an audio, you have a video, you sell them back of the room, you make the calls and blah, blah, blah. It was just, that was the way the business was done. And I looked at it and say, I am never going to be able to, and you're known for your content. I'm a leadership speaker. I'm a customer service speaker. I'm a sales speaker, whatever it was. And I said, I am going to create a new genre of speaking. I'm going to become the personality speaker, where no one ever asked me what I talk about. They're just going to say, I got to have Larry Winger. And in order to do that, I took a lot of criticism from people in the speaking industry. And I said, and for me, back of the room sales are not just going to be audio, video, and books. I can have shot glasses and t-shirts. And, you know, I sold about 100,000 t-shirts to say, shut up, stop whining, and get a life on it. And I put it on shot glasses, beer mugs, and coffee cups and you name it. I merchandised the industry. I said I was going to be the Gene Simmons and Kiss of the speaking industry. I was going to create a look that was so distinct that I was going to throw away all the suits and all the ties. And I was going to wear my earrings. I wore earrings for 25 years. I was going to take my earrings off when I went on stage and all that. And I said, I'm not doing that stuff anymore. The earrings stay in. The suits go in the trash. I'm putting on the cowboy shirts and the cowboy boots, and I'm being who I am, and I'm saying what a damn well please, and if they don't like it, please don't hire me. And I had to step away from the way the speaking industry was done in order to achieve this. And then I used to go to meetings of speakers, and they would say, Larry, you need to come back from the dark side. One person told me that one time. I need to come back from the dark side. And I said, do you have any idea how much money the dark side makes? This is not the dark side. This is the authentic side. And here's the deal I've discovered along the way. And people in any business need to remember this, is that people don't really listen to what you have to say, and they rarely believe what you have to say. However, they will always listen to see if you believe what you have to say. Huh. That's what people reward right now. They want you to believe it.
And to me, that sounds like exemplification.
Yeah, exactly.
Talking to talk. And you're known for wearing the nice, you know, snazzy custom shirts and
and the boots and all that sort of stuff. Listen, you got to have a look. You got to have a brand that's recognizable visually as well as from a content standpoint and a style standpoint. Look at all the great brands in the world today. They have a content brand, a style brand, and a visual brand. If you can tie those three together in any industry, your chances of winning go up.
That's awesome. I love it too, because what you just tied into with the story you shared about, you know, stepping on the next step is,
yeah,
you were just being you. You're being authentic.
Yeah.
And the world today,
that willingness to step away. And that's what I talk about. You, the giving up part of this is also a willingness to step away. And what you have to put up with, it's going to be lonely for a while. You're going to be ridiculed. I've been all those things. I was the only guy out there. And now everybody does business the way I do business.
You blaze the trail. Players.
But it's going to be lonely. You're going to be ridiculed. And if you can't put up with that, well, then just go back and be part of the horde and become a commodity.
As Emerson said, envy is ignorance and imitation is suicide.
Yep. Yep, Larry, you're exactly right. Great quote as well.
I know we're wrapping up on time here. So let's, how could individuals, you know, find you, hear more about you, where you're speaking, things you offer? Share that with us, please.
Oh, I'm an easy guy to find. Just look up LarryWingett.com or follow me at Larry Wingett fan page or Instagram or any place. You'll see all my stuff. I'm an easy guy to find. My books are available everywhere. You can go on Amazon and get them all as well. I've written 6 New York Times, Wall Street Journal bestsellers, so I'm out there.
Awesome. What are you up to these days, Larry? What's on the horizon for you?
Oh, I'm just outlining a new book that if I can talk myself into stop enjoying the summer off right now, I might sit down and start really working on it. I've got it outlined, so there'll be a new book coming out from me in the next year. And what people can look forward from Larry Wingett is a whole lot less.
A whole lot less.
Yeah, a whole lot less. I really am at the point in my career, and I've made enough money, and I've enjoyed myself a lot, that I'm going to become much more particular in what I do. I spent 250 days a year on the road for over 20 years.
That's a lot of talks.
That's a lot of talks. That's a lot of travel. So now I've got my bulldogs and my wife, and I like my house, and I'm going to be enjoying those things a whole lot more.
Awesome. Awesome. Can you share a little bit about what maybe this last book you're up to is going to be about? A little snippet?
You know, I've written about a lot of things over the years, but what I want to write is something I lived and sort of hit on here. It's going to be called Circle the Wagons, How to Fight Back When You're Being Attacked from All Sides.
Oh,
I would. And it's about life as well as business. And so there'll be principles that you can pull in. You remember in the old Westerns, everybody, the first thing when you were being attacked, they said, circle the wagons. And it's the principles involved in doing that in your life. My wife and I, the other day, said if there's one thing we've been good at in our 37 years of marriage, when something starts to happen, we can circle the wagons and present a united front and start to fight back. I figured that how to do that over the years in my business as well as my life. That's what the book will be about.
Awesome. I love it. Count me in for a copy.
All right.
Count me in. Larry, I really appreciate you coming on the show today and taking these time with us and sharing, you know, your love and your wisdom for what it is you do. So
thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.